What kind of madness would create such zombie takeout?
Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
I'm Scotto.
And without any further ado, because we really don't have any front matter this week,
no.
On to this week's movie, which is from 2017, Neil Stryker and the Tyrant of Time. This is our David Ogden Stier tribute. He passed away this past weekend. We were a little short for time for coming up with a movie.
Hey, you know, he had a paycheck.
Yeah, that brings us, to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Puppets. They worked for Thanksgiving 3.
And also brought to you by Bug Zapper Suits. Got a candlestick? Got a ballroom? When you have to kill every last motherfucking golem in the room, except no substitutes. All right, so we have our hero who's he's on. Should I do just this plot summary in kind of his voice?
That could be interesting.
He's suspended. He's, on the outs. So he tries to go home and, settle in with the family, but the wife gets killed, and his nemesis gets broken out of prison, and he goes on a quest. Well, he's hired to get him, and he goes on a dangerous mission that no one shall, of course, survive. It's a suicide mission, but everyone goes on it anyway. They inexplicably run into goblins. There's a musical number in there somewhere.
Puppet goblins, by the way.
Yeah. And he goes to get the bad guy, and hilarity ensues.
Or does it? The lead actor, I've never seen him in anything before, but he so reminds me of Zach Ward.
He hasn't done anything.
Yeah, I don't think many people in this movie have done anything.
Right. It's just these two guys. They've they made this, and it took like a decade to make.
Although the actor who plays, I think it might have actually been the same guy who played the main villain, the mad scientist. It is the same guy.
It is. It took me a while to figure it out in the movie. I forget how far was it to it. I'm like, that's the same motherfucker.
Because as Neil Stryker, he reminds me of Zach Ward.
Yeah.
But as the mad scientist, he reminds me of John Michael Higgins.
I was going to say, he reminds me of Chuck Barris as the mad scientist. Yeah.
But the beginning of this movie was brilliant. As soon as the powdered wig line was said, I was in love. Because he goes to, retrieve this thing called, the Hornet device. And apparently he's fighting, he mentions something of the supervillain having a powdered wig.
Yeah.
As he's fighting the henchman. And yeah, he's got a powdered wig and this
right.
Coco costume and this, on this hovering, lounge.
He's pretty much Baron Harkonnen.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it had really good fight choreography for a no budget movie.
Right.
I mean, it's like $100,000 the budget on this, or $150,000. Loved the taunting from the Commodore, which is the villain with the powdered wig.
Yeah,
He's got to be the best supervillain I've ever seen.
But he's only in that scene,
in that opening scene, and then simply shot in the head while monologuing,
which I thought was great.
Oh, yeah.
And then especially when they're like, "We want him alive, just so you know." Oh, well. Define alive.
Yeah. And then we get to the real villain of the movie, the mad scientist. Also loved that. Who is broken out of a mental institution by his henchman Daryl, and they make no pretense about the fact that they're hiding their faces while they're leaving the hospital.
Yeah.
They walk past a guard with clipboards over their heads, the size of their heads. And was it me, or did the lip sync seem a little off at times?
It's tough to say.
Not off like there's a problem with the copy, but like they dubbed it and weren't 100% careful.
The link you'd sent me didn't actually work for this, so I had to find other means to acquire it.
Oh, okay. Huh.
There was only a couple scenes where the dubbing got weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't for the whole movie. It just seems at times, and it was. I found it kind of charming because the whole thing is, it's like 90% CG.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very, and bad CG.
Yeah.
For a lot of it. And it's one of those movies you don't really care.
Well, right. That is not the point of this movie. There's somebody at IMDb that was complaining about over-the-top acting, and it's like,
kind of the point of the movie.
Are you serious? Did that all just really go over your head?
You know, when the mad scientist says Neil Stryker, there's this hilarious 80s style title card with this very early 80s like CBS music. Oh, and another person Neil Stryker reminds me of, the voice, reminds me of a Bruce McCullough character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely... Like, he
completely borrowed from Bruce McCullough.
I could see, like, a Kids in the Hall, you know, influence here, too. I mean...
And there were some good effects. The portal effect was brilliant.
Yeah, when
they first show the time portal. Now... I have a lot of criticisms, but the first thing that kind of bugged me, I really couldn't tell if the rampant sexism was intentional or not. Like, I couldn't tell if it was meant to be ironic, because there's no wink.
Right. It is tough to tell. It's tough to tell what they're getting at.
And it gets a bit homophobic here and there, and like... I get that they're playing with the tropes of the action movie and
right.
all of this, and
I kind of
there's no wink to it. Yeah,
yeah, it is tough to tell where they're coming from. I mean, I just didn't dig the rusty trombone.
Yeah, joke. Yeah. That's part of what I'm referring to with the homophobia and with the sculptor as well, the mad scientist brother.
It really didn't fit any of that, you know. I mean, it's also like a really played out joke too, if you like remember, if you watched Crank Yankers, which I guess was on TV when they were filming this 10 years ago or whatever.
This took 10 years to make.
So they're making references to pop culture at the time. Yeah. That's long gone.
Mm-hmm. And David Ogden Stiers, the reason we're reviewing it as a tribute episode is he has top billing. Yeah. And judging from the trailer, it looked perfect for us.
Yeah.
It looked like another Thanksgiving 3. But I suspect he was given top billing in order so that he would be in the movie.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's the only reason he has top billing. He has two scenes. I could probably count on one hand the number of lines he has.
I thought he might have had three. There was, when he's walking down the hallway, there's at the end. Wasn't there another one, too? Maybe you're right. Maybe there's only two.
Though, back to the things I did like, the Christmas monologue. The mad scientist's first evil plan, because he now has a time portal. He can go back. He can time travel. He's going to go back to every December 24th and steal Santa's presents and then ransom them. And while he's giving this monologue, in the background, there's this globe that says after, and it's the Earth split in two and flaming.
Right. Yes, there's before a whole globe, and then after the globe split in fire.
And you mentioned the scene with the Empire. Speaking of a slow droid, I also loved the blimp probe.
Yeah.
Probe that comes out of the blimp and then just slowly, like zombie speed, goes at him, misses every shot. He just shoots it. And just the fact that they're in a blimp, the scientist, the mad scientist and Daryl, right, in the city, like navigating around buildings.
I loved the three bumper droids, I guess you could call them, or the Roxbury droids.
yes.
I love how the whole sequence took place, where he's kind of like trying to, like, you know, he's consulting the field manual to try to defeat them, and it looks like he's finally beaten. And then he looks back at the camera and he's just kind of like,
partially us and partially the camera that the mad scientist and Daryl are watching him from.
I won't spoil entirely do, but it's really funny.
And I think this was a good choice for Stiers because I generally preferred him in comedic roles.
Yes.
He did dramatic stuff here and there, but he was a brilliant straight man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he only had a few lines, but they were perfectly played against the silliness of the movie.
I don't understand. Well, they were smart because they got Walter Koenig to do the Russian accent.
Walter Koenig also has a cameo later in the film. They go through this sort of force field thing that sends them 10 years into the future. And ages them to others. And so when this one Russian guy goes through this force field, he turns into Walter Koenig.
Right. But they got him to do the Russian accent. Why didn't they get Ogden Steers to do Winchester?
Yeah.
Why the hell didn't they do that?
Yeah.
It would have been perfect.
And I love how Stryker and his men are basically stormtroopers.
Yes.
Like they have the mad scientist and at one point Daryl right in front of them, and they can't hit them. They're hitting everything else.
Well, how many shots does he have on the mad scientist that he just never takes?
Right.
He's in the bathtub.
Yeah.
He's he threw the woman into the time portal and was just there by himself.
Right.
And said a few things to him while he's just sitting there with the gun. Right. And you're just like, let's do it, man. Scott Evil this.
And then we get to the puppet goblins. I really thought they could save it. Because it was so Thanksgiving 3. There's a fight scene that whoever made the movie, was it, I can't think of the actor's name, the main actor. He might have been, I think he was the director as well.
Yeah, the two of them, Rob Taylor and Nick Costa, are the two guys that wrote, produced, directed. They did everything.
And Nick Costa played Daryl. I do remember that. They had to have seen Thanksgiving 3 before that fight scene.
He played a number of roles, Costa. In fact, remember they were like, who is that good-looking man running into the hallway? It's referring to his own character. Yeah. See, I think I'm the exact opposite. It took me a while to get into this. And once they went into fucking Lord of the Rings, once they got into that fight, I was like, okay, I am at home.
With the goblins?
Yes.
See, I was thinking Thanksgiving 3 largely because of the music, I think.
Right.
It's kind of, orchestral sounding hip hop. It was that kind of music like the Thanksgiving theme.
Yeah.
And they're just beating the shit out of these puppets. And it just reminded me of a couple of scenes in 3. But then we have the musical number, and I really wasn't sure. I have in my notes a fucking musical number.
Let's see. What year did Are you thinking the original Thanksgiving?
Yeah. That was 2011, I think. 2012.
That was 2009. No,
not the original. Not the original. The 3.
Yeah.
Because that's the one that had the puppets in it.
Yeah.
This was made, you're right, over 10 years. So
Who knows? Could be before that. Who knows?
Yeah, wow.
I wasn't thinking Thanksgiving all that much. Okay. But I mean, it is in the same vein, of course. Yeah, yeah. But it's just, you didn't see that coming where it was just going to be this.
You didn't see the musical number. I watched the trailer, so I kind of saw the puppets coming. I didn't see the musical number coming.
And the fact that it was just, a brief, strange interlude that they're in this fantasy world for just only like 15 minutes of the movie, really.
And they did something in this movie that I wish they had done more in Stargate. Because the time portal is kind of like a Stargate.
Yes.
Because normally, in most cases, someone just walks through and they come out the other side.
Yeah.
Toward the end, they show Stryker flying through it.
Yeah.
And I mean, full on Superman style.
Of course.
Sat in front of him. And surprisingly, there's only one Wilhelm.
Yeah, I would have expected more. Where was the Wilhelm in this?
Pretty late in the movie. 118. 1 hour, 18 minutes. It's 1 hour, 37 total. And then it ends with the biggest I Smell sequel I've ever seen.
Well, yeah. Hopefully they have a budget. Obviously
it's deliberate. on to sequels and remakes. Discussing it, I think, has improved my opinion. You've talked me up. Because here I just have please no. But again, assuming it doesn't take another decade to pull it off, I kind of want to see Daryl more.
Yeah, like, I mean, it took me a while to get into it, honestly. Like, like I have in my notes, those jowls was the first time I LOL'd in the movie. I mean, it was interesting in the beginning, but it wasn't like all that funny. except for, of course, killing the what you thought was going to be the villain.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the powdered wig just won me over so much that I was a lot more accepting of some stuff in the beginning.
But a sequel, or well, yeah, I would like to see more from these guys. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's more to the point. Is maybe not this story, but more from, you know, these creators. All right, on to brains.
On to brains.
You've talked me up, like I said. I'm going to go 4.
I definitely recommend it. I would go 4.5. Right. I like. It's about time we had somebody taking up the police squad mantle other than just Angie Tribeca.
All right, so what have we learned?
I still like a bug zapper suit.
And I learned that nothing is more important than stapling in the holiday lights. All right, so...
Your mom is dead.
I'm not even going to spoil that one. All right, so that's it for Neil Stryker and the Tyrant of Time. Rest in peace, Mr. Stiers.
Rest in peace.
Of course... If you enjoyed this video, please give it a like and subscribe if you haven't. In the description, you'll find the trailer for Neil Stryker and the Tyrant of Time. Thankfully, I don't have to say that full name one anymore. And of course, a link to its IMDb page. You'll also find all of our links, a link to zombietakeout.com, where you'll find our movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far. We've been doing this for 8 years as a podcast. And every movie we've got planned to do. I think Hardcore Henry is the last one we have. No, we don't. Actually, Demolition Man is the last one we have in order.
Oh.
Because in the 2 weeks we had off, we had movies planned, or in one of them. So we had to pass on Dress to Kill and Demolition Man we were going to do this week. They're both at the end of the list because neither of us is in a rush for them, I don't think.
Yeah, I wasn't all that. I mean, I've seen Demolition Man long ago, and I'm just like, are we really doing that?
Yeah, we might cut that one. And I mean, I had a bit of a crush on Nancy Allen back in the day, but I'm really in no rush to see those movies. So anyway.
Sandra Bullock?
No, Nancy Allen isn't. But no, she was. I'm thinking RoboCop. She was in RoboCop, not Demolition Man. She was in Dress to Kill, though, which is the reason I had a bit of a thing for her back then. Anyway, you'll find Zombie Takeout. Also, our recommendation list, which this just squeaked onto. All of our links for social media and links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes for the audio version of this. And, of course, our email and voicemail. Bodo, we haven't heard from you in a few weeks. What's up?
Oh, yeah. I thought we had a voicemail.
Nope. Not unless it just came in late today and I didn't check, and in which case I apologize.
Well, I thought we had one yesterday.
I definitely didn't have one yesterday. I just checked.
Really? Okay.
I checked today, I'm pretty sure. I'll check later tonight. Again, apologies. It'll be next week. All right. So until next time, when we'll be reviewing Zero Theorem, a little more Terry Gilliam, getting back to him.
Nice.
Always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.